Well, here we are on lockdown. How are you? It's Booker of the Perez Hilton Podcast with Chris Booker. We get it. We know you're bored. We're still doing shows. We're keeping you up to date with everything entertainment. A little bit of relief from everything that's going on in the world. You could get the show on Spotify. You could get it on your Apple Podcasts or the Podcast One app. Whatever you do, download and subscribe and get the PHP, the Perez Hilton Podcast with Chris Booker. And everything that's entertainment will be covered.
Well, again, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Adam and I are going to talk a little bit about how Love Boat celebrated Thanksgiving and how that made us feel. We will take a bunch of calls and hope you enjoy our Thanksgiving episode.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on his dressing room Monday. Get on Dr. Drew's poor fit. Just a hiccup. Well, we got a call up there, and it's something I was just about to get into, which is interesting.
Let's do that, but very quickly, I just wanted to say that Thanksgiving was extra special this year because the Love Boat dedicated their show to Thanksgiving.
Oh, I
this
watched
week.
That.
Yeah. And
yeah. Everyone was fighting.
They're fighting, but they were thankful for each other when it all. And what I found comical was they referred to storylines as why they were thankful. I knew them all. And they all referenced their
you
own
You watched
stuff.
Every episode.
I've seen
now.
Every episode that they referenced. And they were obscure references, too. And I was embarrassed. But it was nice to see a little Thanksgiving on the Love Boat. And more nonsensical stories. The one thing before we drop it, I will say, is the guy and the kid in the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
There was all this weird sort of Lauren Green. Is that Lauren Green?
Am I getting it right? By the way, sorry. It's Lauren.
Lauren Green.
Lauren Green.
Okay.
Not Lauren.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ralph Lauren.
Lauren. No, this is L-O-R-N-E. Lauren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lauren.
Yeah. Lauren Green. And he was sort of biased against the kid with a lumbar spinal cord injury. Turns out
paraplegic, yes. in a wheelchair.
Did a little dive on that kid. Actually a paraplegic. He was a world-class pole vaulter and injured himself pole vaulting, I believe.
Well, and you know what was interesting?
He's a shitty actor. That was interesting.
How dare you? Pole vaulters make some of the best thespians the stage that have ever graced the stage. Sure. There was one scene. Here was a storyline to Love Boat that I always liked.
Yeah.
And then here's how it would work. It would work that they have the young, beautiful daughter.
Yeah.
Right? And then the young, beautiful daughter was engaged to either the old guy,
yes,
or the wheelchair guy,
yes,
or the black guy.
Yes.
And somehow the parents that they were very close to never saw this person, right, was introduced to this,
right,
person,
right,
or knew any of the official particulars, right, about the person's ethnicity or age or anything.
Well, so what bothers me, there's always an opening scene where they greet on the boat and the daughter's trying to explain they're going to meet this kid. I've kept this from you. Can't say to get it out, which I find weird and bizarre.
So the conceit is the family,
yep,
is close enough to cruise together.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if you did a lot of cruising with your parents. I didn't do a lot of cruising with my parents because I'm not close to my parents.
Right.
And it cost $4. I mean, it would have been unthinkable.
Laughable.
Laughable. But the point is not this family. They were tight.
Yeah.
They're tight. They're very – and they love their daughter very much. That's their baby, their
but
angel.
They always will throw in, we flew in from Denver. You know, we trying to get to see you. You know, they'll always throw that in.
They did this weird – I'm glad you brought that up because everything was about the parents. So then the fiance meets the parents for the first time on the cruise. And, yeah, of course, they come rolling up, you know, and – somehow the daughter, even though she's very close to the parents because they're close enough to go on a cruise together, mm-hmm, they're not close enough for her to mention to the parents, yeah, pre-cruise, yeah, that he's confined to a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Now, it would seem like if you were frequently contacting your daughter and had a close relationship, and she said, I'm in love and I'm engaged. And you would say, well, tell me about this person. You'd go, well, he's a school teacher, and then he injured himself in a diving accident. You know, wouldn't take very long to get to the wheelchair part.
How about last week where the old guy was the mom's old boyfriend? It was really
They somehow just dropped this on the boat. But there's a couple things in the bad writing department. Now, interesting thing about the guy.
Yeah.
The guy looked like a sort of hunky all-American guy. Looks like a pole vaulting.
Yep.
There was, and of course, I just went, okay, this is just some good-looking Hollywood guy from Central Cast, and they put him in a wheelchair, you know. There was a scene when he was sort of rolling toward the table where he had a very developed upper body, strong arms, broad shoulders. His lower body looked thin and atrophied.
Yes, you could see it. You could see it when he came over to the side of the table.
Right, and I was like, wait a minute. It doesn't sound like they just took some All-American and set him down in a wheelchair.
And it didn't move.
Right.
Because an actor would be kind of shifting around instead of doing no movement.
Right.
Yeah.
I took notice of that.
Yeah, me too.
The other thing.
And the way he handled the chair.
The way he handled the chair, yes.
He was working through crowds and stuff like this is just how I can move around.
So, yeah. So they were sort of getting the real McCoy before anyone cared.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that was interesting, speak about Denver. You know, they had to do this. Lauren Green. You know, so here's how it would work. When somebody's old or black or in a wheelchair or some other form of a handicap that we looked at back then, you'd have to keep stumbling into it.
Yeah.
You know, you'd go, you know, you'd have to go, oh man, this prime rib is exquisite, chef. You deserve a standing ovation. Yeah. And then they'd look at the guy in the wheelchair and go, you know, it's like you have to keep running into this thing.
Yes, they did that 10 times.
Right. And so, but in the bad writing department.
Like, would you get up and go, I'm going to get you a drink. No, you sit right there. It's like,
I mean, oh. Yeah. In the bad writing department, they're like, and they'd have to keep, what they would keep doing is sort of putting their foot in their mouth, essentially. So that's what they used to call it. So like they'd go like, Oh, the flight from Denver. Oh, man. And then Lauren Green's like, 2 hours in the same seat. I couldn't take it. You know, and then they look at the guy in the wheelchair who spends his life in the seat. But hold on.
Yeah.
2 hours on a commercial flight is about as short a commercial flight as you can find.
Right.
Have them come from the East Coast.
Right.
Why? I don't know why they picked Denver. But anyway. Yes, he was confined to a wheelchair. She was in love with him.
But I just want to say,
then there's a trope.
But before we go to the trope, I just want to say that the weirdness, the preoccupation with putting foot in the mouth around disabilities or differentness, All in the Family did an entire episode on Sammy Davis Jr.'s eye.
Right.
He had a glass eye. They did a whole episode that paid out with the final line of Archie putting his foot in his mouth.
Right.
So weird.
Yeah.
Who cares? Why do we care?
It was almost vaudevillian.
Yeah,
it's a trope.
I guess, yeah.
Someone would show up. They could be short. They could be black. They could be Hispanic. Whatever it is, and you'd keep referencing something. And it usually, again, was, you know, it would be like if the person was blind. They go, "This person's guilty. Anyone can see that."
Yes,
and they go, "Anyone knows that."
Yeah.
That's, you know, and then they'd go way over the top. And it was just a trope. It was just a thing that they just did.
Mm.
It was just
another super
lazy writing.
Yes, it's anthropology.
And then, so every story would be parent disapproves.
Yeah.
Parent doesn't go to their daughter and tell them they disapprove.
Right.
Parent goes to fiance.
Talks
the guy in the wheelchair talks him out of it.
Yeah.
Then fiance goes to the woman and doesn't say, "I talked to your dad. He doesn't want me to marry you."
Right.
They go, "I've just fallen out of love. Sorry."
Yeah.
And they roll away. And then everyone is crestfallen. And then at some point, the parents reconsider.
Right.
That's how it works.
That's the trope.
And then everything is good again. So, I didn't even get to the end of it. I know how it
ends. Well, so it's interesting. Now, some of the Love Boat is anthropology of the 1970s, but some of it is anthropology of just bad writing and the history of vaudeville, essentially.
Most of it's just super lazy writing.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's talk
line two.
To,
line two line is one two. You wanted to get to.
Yeah. Talk to Kevin, 30, Chicago. Kevin?
Hi, guys. Adam, Drew, how are you guys doing?
Hey, hi, guy.
Hi, guy.
Hey, by the way, I was just in Chicago a couple days ago. It's on in Chicago. It's on. More than New York.
People
are
out.
People are out. People are into it. Yeah.
All right. It's on. Yes, Kevin.
Yeah, people are out. So, so I had a question for you guys. I mean, you often touch on how controlling the language is important for influencing the way people think about a particular topic. And, you know, maybe that's more beneficial for some groups than others. But I'm wondering if you noticed this related, more subtle phenomenon, which is that I seem to see more and more frequently, which is people who are facing specific questions will often say something like, yes, there are questions surrounding this topic or around, you know, this topic, let's say the safety of vaccinating young children or something. But it seems to be a way of obscuring what the real specific questions are. And also it's contributing to like a lack of specificity in the things that we are even saying.
We should call that a Jen Psaki. Call it a Jen Psaki.
Circle back.
Yeah, that's her way of speaking.
Yeah, there is also, we do this stupid thing where they go, you know, now, while kids aren't as at greater risk as the elderly for COVID-19, we still recommend, it's not that they're not as at great a risk or a little less than great risk as the elderly. They're in virtually no risk.
Yeah.
And this is a problem because you want to get your kid. Let's just put it to you this way, Kevin. Let's just say you have a son, right? And you'd like to get your son vaccinated. We'll move COVID out of this. Let's just say vaccinated from being hit on the head from a falling safe out of an 8-story window. You know, if I said, well, if your child is... It slightly is it less risk than a high risk group of being crushed by a safe that falls out of a window, you'd get your kid vaccinated. If I said your kid virtually has no chance of being this, then you wouldn't. You know what I mean? It's just in the wording. People and by the way, their lack of precision. Look, these aren't dumb people.
It's intentional.
This is intentional. These are smart, super educated people who speak with great clarity when they're trying to get you to do something. They speak in vagitudes when it's not. You hear Fauci, you know, Fauci's like, well, maybe, you know, kids aren't quite as high risk of, no, that's vague. That's insane. By the way, we don't need your expertise if you're going to speak that way.
Right.
The thing about kids and COVID and death is without pre-existing conditions, it's virtually zero. That's how, if you want clarity, that's how you speak. Not less than the elderly.
Right. I completely agree. And
by the way, everything is less than whoever the endangered group is.
I know. I saw a long...
check the ages, Drew. Check the war on the ages.
I know.
I saw it at Jump Street. They won't let it go.
Hey, did you see what the headlines are now? It was kind of interesting. What they said was the surge in the UK is being driven by children. Do you see that headline?
No.
Turns out it was vaccinated and unvaccinated 12 to 15-year-olds, 17-year-olds, something like that, older adolescents. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they had a slightly higher incidence in that group than in other groups mm-hmm. for the moment, mm-hmm. which doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. And by the way, none of them were sick.
Yeah, the language thing that I was talking about is I was examining my suede topsiders that are sitting on the table out there, and the reason they're there is because I instructed Olga to bring over suit shoes. But I had this conversation. It's what I always do. I go, you got to go in the closet. You got to get suit shoes. Hmm. Brown and black suit shoes. Now, do not think I know that there's a whole bunch of sort of casual shoes in there.
Yeah.
Not tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Somewhere between the tennis shoe and the suit shoe lies the casual shoe. Mm-hmm. Sort of topsiders, you know, things of that nature. I can see them in my head.
Yeah.
And I stopped and I said, now listen, not the suede, whatever, slip on, wear suit shoes, suit, shoes, only shoes you would wear with a suit and tie. And then I said it again, and then she brought over a bag, and at the top were these suede sort of brown topsider shoes. Now, I don't get too much about it, but now what ends up happening, the unintended consequences, is they then get pulled out of the bag, and they've been sitting on the table for 2 weeks, and yes. Now I got to bring them back.
Yes.
But either way, it's not a big deal. But the point is this. I knew what was going to happen. I tried to stop it. I do that a lot. Mm-hmm. I go, do not do this thing. But it's not really doable is what well, I figured out.
Can you take the other person's perspective when you're doing it?
I take it before
yeah.
I give them yeah. the marching okay. orders. I picture myself opening
no,
a closet.
No, not myself. Her.
No, no. I her. Picture – sorry.
Yeah.
Quiet.
I'm just
I
saying.
Picture her opening the – I know I'm not doing it okay. myself. I picture her opening the closet and looking at a bunch of shoes.
Yeah.
And then trying to figure out like
What is a suit shoe is what she's going to have to figure out.
Oh, she figured it out. It was all suit shoes and
except
then
one.
The loafers, the suede topsiders. Mm. That's my point is that's how people roll. Mm. And I get it. And by the way, when you talk to them, you know what the number one answer is? The number one answer is yeah, I know they're not suit shoes, but I just wanted to just play it safe. You know what I mean? Like they don't go, I'm dumb or I'm bad or you weren't clear. They just go,
I would imagine.
You know,
she would go, Mr. Carolla might want something a little less uncomfortable. You did say suit shoes. You could wear these with a suit and you sort of convince yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Of things,
that's how it works.
Yeah.
But what I'm just saying is trying to describe things to people and then get them to execute it is tough.
Yep. Let's talk to somebody from Poland. Line three.
Line three. Dominic?
Warsaw.
Howdy.
Yeah, what's going
on? What are you doing in Warsaw?
Well, I actually used to live in California.
Mm-hmm.
What's my dad doing in Israel?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
That explains what you're doing in Warsaw. Okay.
Drew, ask me what I'm doing in California.
What are you doing in North Hall? What are you doing in Glendale?
I used to live in Menominee, Wisconsin. Okay.
Okay, got it.
Now you know what I'm doing here. Understood?
Stop abusing poor Dominic.
Dominic? Sorry.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, not too much, you know. I've been listening to you guys for probably like 7 or 8 years now. I've spent the last, I would say, 5 years. So actually the reason I moved to Warsaw is I started a venture capital fund. We invest in technology companies. And, you know, I've been sort of heads down working on that for 3 years. But of course, because of that, you don't really have a social life. And I've kind of taken that advice that you've always sort of given is, you know, when you're in your 20s, just, you know, work your butt off,
yeah.
make something of yourself.
Yeah.
Wait till you get married. Don't run into a marriage because yeah. that's a big mistake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm sort of on the other side, and I see all my friends are married. They all have kids, and I really want to have kids soon because my parents were quite young when they had me, and it's kind of nice to have young parents because now I'm 32, turning 33. They're in their 50s, and it's fun to hang around them. Mm. So I don't want to wait too long. But the question is like when did y'all know that it was the right time to jump ship? Like at what point in your career? Either financially or where you were in terms of status, like at what point did you know that, okay, now is the right time?
I find that the women usually drive that. I don't find necessarily,
You're open to it though.
To answer it is, I wasn't open to it until I thought I was, financially okay.
Right.
My career was okay.
Me too.
I had a direction and things like that.
And part of it was financial security, and part of it was who am I when I get to that point? Like, what does it feel like to be, out in the world working? It's just sort of you don't know who you are. So how do you know who do you want to be with?
Yeah.
But as soon as you're sort of like established, like it doesn't have to be you're not done with your business, but you sort of feel like, okay, this is who I am in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That to me was sort of an important place.
Yeah. So I mean, you're fine. You're young. You're ahead of schedule. The woman you have a relationship with, they'll normally kind of
drive it.
Set the table for it. Yeah.
This is back. Was it last show where I was talking about how my sweet spot is sort of Czech Republic? Poland is another part of my sweet spot, and I'm just curious. Moving to Poland, are you attracted to Polish women?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of Polish myself, so there's a little bit of that going on.
But so you like the culture and you have the background, but are you especially attracted to Polish women?
I think so. I mean, you know, Polish women are very loyal, which is good. If I compare it to like American women,
whenever somebody goes, I moved to Japan and studying, I always think, oh, they're into that. Because it sort of helps motivate them. I know he's doing a venture fund and, you know, a tech and all that in Eastern Europe. That was a big deal at one time. But I still always in my head go, I know men. Mm-hmm. They're going because they're also into that. They're into that. There's that the same topic I was talking about earlier, which is kind of weird.
All right, Drew's wrestling with the mic. He's going to fall down in a second, and then he's going to be befuddled. Let me tell you about Blinds Galore. They're having their huge Black Friday sale. It's happening right now. Up to 50% off of custom blinds and shades. One of their biggest sales of the year. Head to blindsgalore.com for 50% off during their Black Friday sale. Give any room an incredible makeover with custom blinds and shades or shutters. Do it all from home. Just take the measurements, customize it online with a build a blind tool. You see exactly what your blinds or shades will look like on screen before you buy. All hand built from scratch, delivered right to your door. Created just for your windows. I have them everywhere, including my bedroom. They're electronic there. You can run them off your phone or your Alexa device. You don't have to hardwire them. You just charge them up. They'll even make it easy for you to, again, be smart with your smart home and your phone. And it's just, oy, everything's nice. Everything is custom and everything is top shelf. It's Blinds Galore, right, Matt?
Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home, especially during their huge Black Friday sale when you can get 50% off. Go check out blindsgalore.com. Let them know we sent you. That's blindsgalore.com.
All right.
Yeah, sorry.
Quick break. Back with more questions right after this. All right. Let's see.
Line one.
Got Jason, 40, yeah. Iowa. Jason.
Hello.
Hi, hey. Guy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I was going to ask Dr. Drew if he had seen the video last week of John Campbell. You know John Campbell?
I saw John Campbell interviewing a kid. This was actually wild. Interviewing a kid.
Well, this is about ivermectin.
Okay, hold on.
Versus the new COVID pill.
Okay, hold on. He was just interviewing a kid who developed myocarditis from the vaccine, and that kid just got vilified in social media. It's so weird. He was just describing his illness. He got a young male, got myocarditis, and Campbell was sort of interviewing him what the illness was like. He's better now, blah, blah, blah. And the kid was crucified for discussing his fucking illness.
Well, this is all part of the parent-child syndrome.
Ugh. I just thought I need to talk to that kid immediately. I just want to interview him. Just let him speak his mind.
Go ahead, Jason.
I'm sorry, Jason. Go ahead. So I did not see the ivermectin discussion, but go ahead. Was he talking about cost?
No, he was comparing the new COVID pills that are coming out with the ivermectin.
Yeah.
And saying basically that they're both protease inhibitors.
Yes.
And kind of saying that they do the same thing.
The ivermectin has a similar mechanism of action, but in the human, not nearly as efficacious. And the Merck product, which is the protease inhibitor, is not the one we're going to use. We're going to use the triple drug by Pfizer because the viruses get around single agents very easily. My prediction is you'll be using the Merck drug as a prophylactic agent if you get exposed. And then you'll be using the triple drug if you get sick. And they really are – they are just a lot more efficacious than ivermectin. I mean, I'm sympathetic to the data on ivermectin, and it's an interesting conversation. But when something's really effective, it's another deal. It's the difference between cranberry juice versus ciprofloxacin for a urinary tract infection. Mm-hmm. You know, one just like that's the end of it, and the other's like, well, this might help. And it's just different. It just is.
Right.
He had a pretty convincing video, but how would you...
Wait, except for, let's not forget CNN explaining the cranberries are for horses.
Right.
See, CNN's reaction to ivermectin should be the same reaction as a urologist is to cranberry juice.
Yeah.
Like, or, if you want to take it, it's not going to hurt, but there's other things that might be more effective.
And by the way, CNN should not have any opinion, to be factual about this. They should not even – how we got to the point where press and editors had an opinion about medical care – and what doctor? That's disgusting.
It's insane.
It's disgusting. It's insane.
Yeah. That's all you idiots fall for listening to them. Jason?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway, he's good. Campbell's good. I like his stuff. And but he's remember, he's a nurse. He's not a clinician. He's not a physician. But he's very good. And he's a PhD in nursing. And he's good. He's just very, very good. I like him a lot. So maybe he'll end up being right. That's why I listen to these data. So,
all right. Let's talk to Michael, 60, Washington. Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, guy.
How are you today?
Good.
Good.
What's going on?
Well, I originally was going to ask about this state infrastructure bank thing I had heard about. But after listening to you guys talk, I think I have a better question or comment than that.
All right.
So if you want me to go with it. Yeah.
Let's go.
You know, with all this stuff going on with COVID and our media and the communications that we're getting, and I've really been noticing a big problem, and I'm sure you guys know it too, and everyone knows it, is the ability for, I'll say it simply like Walter Cronkite used to say, and that's the way it is,
right,
that we have really very few sources to get true information. And I'm going to give you a little example. SM-102 is a part of the Moderna vaccine that I hadn't really looked into much until recently. I know in May it was a big deal. And when I looked into it, I did with ivermectin the first time, I typed it as Googled it, and I got human dosages and a Nobel Prize. I didn't get all the other stuff that the media had done because I did it early on. And so when I typed it in and started looking up SM-102, I saw that there was stuff about it on the internet. So I went negative, and so I went to look up that. And all the fact-check sites, including Reuters and Quora and Nebraska Medical, a bunch of them. Sorry if I'm not supposed to say their names. But anyway, their fact-check site said that SM-102 was, in fact, safe, and that the reason they said it wasn't safe was because it was in chloroform. Well, because I'm a science-y guy, I was like, what? I just looked at those website, and it's not in chloroform. It's in alcohol, ethanol, that we all drink usually, most of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking into it. Well, sure enough, all the manufacturers of SM-102, all the distributors of SM-102, all say it is not for human consumption or to be put in human body.
I don't know what it is, but what's
it's a lipid nanoparticle.
Yeah,
is what
Bruce Monk
that's
with
right.
His phone,
I'm completely, because I am kind of science-y.
Yeah.
I'm completely familiar with it. But when we call things oils, waxes, fats, and things, a lot of people don't understand that a long carbon chain with some oxygen and hydrogen on it, the difference between being a fat and oil, something you put in your car or something you eat, there's not a lot of variation in those.
Yeah.
And so just saying it's a lipid doesn't mean like, well, it's okay. Because
right.
Even deer have lots of fats in them, but there are only some you can eat and some you can
Early on in the mRNA distribution, there were concerns about these exosomes, whatever you want to call them, lipid nanoparticles. And there still is some stuff because they show up places they shouldn't be. And that's mostly what people get kind of concerned about. But no real connection to pathology at this point. So they think it's safe. They still think it's safe.
But was Michael's thing, were you talking about the media and their approach to everything?
Well, the media's approach to it is part of it, but my other, just back with Dr. Drew and the little science part real quick, is I understand the mechanism of the mRNA and how it has to be coated in the lipids so that it can trick the body to not attack it or break it down, keeping it stable so that it can get into the cytoplasm of the cell so that it can reproduce and make the spikes and do its thing. The problem is we don't know, and I found studies, we don't know what any of that stuff we put around the mRNA really does, and the studies just started like in September to even figure that out.
No, it's right.
So
that's right. But it doesn't seem to be associated with pathology. That's the good news.
Yeah, yes. So,
all right.
Keep your eye on it. Listen, it's an evolving story. I understand when people push back on mRNA technologies, this is the kind of thing they push back and worry about. But, we've got a few years in our belt now, nothing yet. We'll see. Like I said, they do show up, those lipids show up places that people are not like, they're wondering, is this okay? So far, yes. It's okay.
All right. Let's talk to Mike, 52, San Diego. Mike.
Hi, guy.
You put off your vacation in Mexico for 2 years. You went through his advice of risk going there if he is vaccinated. Drew's been to Mexico.
Yeah, so my wife did two doses of Moderna, and I got the third booster shot just like 2 weeks ago. And I'm thinking, okay, well, is this stuff abating? And I'm not asking Dr. Drew for medical advice. Assume I'm a friend of his. What would you tell me about going down there and doing our resort vacation?
There's not zero risk. There's some risk. But if you do the timing for all of this is when we get the antivirals, when that Pfizer product comes out.
How long is that out?
In a month or two. I keep saying that, but it should be out any day, really. But if you're at all worried, I mean, get her boosted if enough time has gone by. You're boosted. I realize that even after booster, over the next 6 months, it may start to decay. So in terms of when the right time, the sooner the better, right?
All right.
And be careful and be smart, and that's that.
Be careful. Like what? Wash your hands?
No.
It's like, why not? Everyone's been telling us.
They've been telling us
to wash our hands over and over again for 2 years.
It's ridiculous.
Why not? We don't care.
It's a good idea for everything except COVID. Everything except COVID. It's a good idea for.
Here's what I found. Lysol countertops. Does it live on countertops?
No.
But we were told to wash our hands and wipe everything down.
Right. And don't lie your towel.
Between me
down.
And everyone else is I've heard this so many times that I pre-ignore it. Everyone else buys into it, wastes a year and a half, and then stops doing it. I do it from jump straight.
Just think about the fact the reason for doing it is because they did it in China.
I'm a pre-ignorer, Drew. All right.
I like it.
Live shows.
But anyway, one thing, quick thing. Outdoor, you have nothing to worry about. Indoor, if you're crammed in a small space with lots of people, limit your time there. Get out of there. That kind of carefulness.
December 15th, Bray Improv coming up. Two Daily Wire specials up there. TJ Miller, Patrick Warburton. Go to amcarolla.com for all that. Then Helium in Portland, Oregon. Do that December 22nd, 23rd. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live stuff. What do you got, Drew?
DrDrew.com for Family Pod. DrDrew.tv for the streaming shows. And don't forget TikTok at Dr. Drew.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.